This Halloween presentation is brought to you by FMGRadio.com. Welcome to the Jody Colvard Show. I'm your host, Jody Colvard. And to kick off my new show, I have an extra special guest, one of my favorites for many, many years since I'm a Halloween baby, Cassandra Peterson, a.k.a. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. And today we have this interview where she's going to share how she got started, some really interesting things. And so for this special Halloween treat, I'd like to offer you this interview and wishing every one of you a wonderful Halloween.
How did the character Elvira come about?
I was an actress working in, struggling in L.A. And I was at that time working with a group called the Groundling Theater, uh-huh. And they have become a very, very popular improvisational group here in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. And a lot of stars have come out of the Groundlings, Paul Rubens, who plays Pee Wee Herman, and the late Phil Hartman, who did Saturday Night Live. Will Ferrell was in the Groundlings, and Julia Sweeney, John Lovitz, lots of actors have come from there. And anyway, I was working with the Groundlings and heard through a friend about an audition for a TV show that was on a local channel, and they were looking for a horror host or hostess. Uh-huh. And my friend suggested I go audition for it, which I did, and the director came down and saw me in the show at the Groundlings, and he really liked the character I was doing that was kind of a valley girl, a silly valley girl actress that I was playing. And he really liked the character, and he asked if I got the role, could I come up with a look that would look spooky, which really did not go with that character at all. I mean, it was like...
Spooky Valley Girl. Okay. Huh? Spooky Valley Girl.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, you know, if I would have gone in on a horror hosting job, I would have been doing something more like, you know, hello, darling, come in, drink a glass of blood, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. But he liked this Valley Girl character I was doing, so I said, yeah, what the hell, they're paying me $300 or whatever. So a friend of mine designed, their criteria was, it had to be all black. Everything had to be black, the dress, the hair, whatever. So my friend designed a costume, designed the wig. He actually styled the wig, the hairdo, after Ronnie Spector from the Ronettes.
I remember that.
A knowledge bump. People think it's a beehive, but it's not. It's a knowledge bump. And I started doing the show, and I really didn't know if it would go longer than one show. You know, I thought mm-hmm. it was kind of a pilot, you know, seeing if it would work. And here I am 26 years later, still being Elvira.
Well, you have such the looks on your face. It was just priceless. And when you did your television show and we'd watch the movies, and you had your little, it was almost like, it was like the new science theater we have now. You were the original doing that. And, so it was, you really made that character.
Thank you so much. Thanks. Yeah, well, it's worked out for me, I'll tell you that. And luckily, I was able to acquire the rights of the character.
Oh, smart.
So unlike a lot of famous characters mm-hmm. that you see, maybe somebody from Star Wars or Star Trek or whatever, I own the character Elvira 100%, and so it's become quite a big licensing and merchandising business for me over the years.
That was a really, really smart move. I know a lot of actors that they get the residuals off of things, just you know, partial.
Yes, you just get a small percentage, even if you say you're Dr. Spock from Star Trek, and you get an action figure or a doll. Mm-hmm. You know, he would be getting a few pennies off of that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I get the whole thing.
That's
so
good.
That's really good.
You started off as a dancer, right?
I did. My first career was dancing. I started dancing when I was 14 as a go-go girl. and I have to explain to people, go-go girls back then meant you wore little white boots mm-hmm. and little fringy dresses. So we were, you know, that was the whole big go club of go-go kind of craze. And I started dancing in clubs when I was 14, and then by the time I was 17, I began dancing in Las Vegas at the Dunes Hotel in a show there called Viva La Girls. So, yeah, I was a dancer. I slowly segued into singing and traveled with a few bands, and then made the leap into acting when I kind of wound up in L.A.
I was really impressed that when you went to Italy at such a young age, and you were in a Fellini film. I was reading that.
Yeah, that was just such a weird fluke. That's actually when I got the idea that I might want to be in acting. I'd never really thought about being an actress before, but I was in Italy. I was pursuing a singing career. I was with another girl and a guitarist. We were singing in clubs, and I was walking down the street with the other girl, who was also a showgirl in my show from Las Vegas, and we ran into a guy who had made a documentary about showgirls in Las Vegas when we were there, and we were part of that documentary. And he was working with Federico Fellini, being a student director. Huh. And he ran into us and said, "Oh my God, do you want to meet Mr. Fellini?" And we were like, do we? Oh my gosh. And went over, he introduced us, and Fellini thought that I really reminded him of his wife, Giulietta Messina, when she was young.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just raving about how I looked and said, "Would you like to work in the movie?" And I was like, okay. And I'm honestly in the movie less than probably 30 seconds, but I worked on the movie for 30 days and had the time of my life. It was fantastic. I got a lot of contact with Mr. Fellini. We had lunches together.
Wow.
He helped direct me because I was the only non-Italian-speaking person at the time. Mm-hmm. And so he would come up and give me every direction that involved our scene, personally, in English. And then I just spent a lot of time with me. And he was just adorable. He was the sweetest, funniest, cutest guy.
What better beginnings for your acting career to work with such an expert director as Fellini?
I know. Can you imagine? I mean, it was, even though I'm really like an extra in the movie, just being around that.
Of it, though.
Also, that movie turned me on to a few other movie parts in Italy, and that's kind of how I began acting. And I did several roles in spaghetti westerns and spaghetti horror films and different kind of movies in Italy for the next year.
You also did a series of films with the Elvira character. Don't you have a DVD set now?
I have a DVD set coming out right now, which is actually, it's coming out from Rhino, what the hell, that's the old company, good heavens, coming out from Shout Factory,
uh-huh.
Which is the ex-Rhino home video, but coming out from Shout Factory are six new double feature movies, DVD sets, and they have my original hosted wraparounds on them. The original one from the show that I did starting in 81. So they're pretty darn funny to see. I mean, oh my God.
Yeah, I want those. That was the best part. It wasn't the movie. It was just watching you.
Yeah, well, you didn't have to be too good to not, outdo the movie. I mean, that's why we got such turkeys, because anything would be good. But those are out right now from Shout Factory, and you can get those. You can go to Elvira.com. Mm-hmm. For more information, or you can pick them up at Amazon or any major place that sells DVDs. But they're called Elvira's Movie Macabre.
Great. So you do have a lot of things. Everything's happening. Well, October, like you said, is a big month. Halloween's my birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm a Halloween baby. So everything Halloween I love. So.
Elvira's birthday is actually Halloween, but mine is not. It is close.
So are you looking into making more movies coming up?
I am.
What's on the horizon?
After Halloween, after kind of calmed down from Halloween, mm-hmm. I did sell a film one time to a film studio who shortly afterwards went bankrupt. They were the film studio that brought the Rocky movies out.
Oh, I remember them.
But I sold the film to them, and hopefully very soon I will be able to get the rights back to that, and I will go out and pitch that film again. But I'm also working on a long-term project that would be involve an Elvira animated feature.
Oh, that would be good. That would be really good.
Yeah, I'd really love to do that.
And we, you see, there's a lot of programs that are coming out in the new types of animation. They have a CGI.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that with Elvira. I think that would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, oh, I love being animated. I tell you, you don't have to look good or dress up or anything.
You don't have to even put any makeup on. Just talk into a microphone.
What a dream job.
Especially
for someone like me who wears more makeup than anyone else in the world.
But it must take a long time to get all that makeup off.
It does. It takes me an hour and a half. And that is when I'm really cranking. I mean, I start exactly 1.5 hours ahead of time, and really rush through it.
An hour and a half put on, an hour and a half take off?
Oh, to take it off is about another hour. And the bad thing about getting it all off is that afterwards, you don't look that great after. If you've ever worn a wig or a hat for a few hours and sweat profusely in it, you'll know what your hair looks like after you get it.
They don't make any plans right after you get out of the wig.
Exactly. People are saying, let's go out after you're done. And I'm going, I don't think so. So you've got, you know, get all the makeup off and then, you know, get in the shower, wash your hair, do your makeup, do your hair. So by the time I get to go out for dinner, it's like 1 a.m. usually, you know.
In my program, I teach a lot of people that are aspiring to be show hosts and to have their own programs. And do you do any training for your voice? Is it ongoing, or is this something that you have naturally?
I did, ever since I was about 17 and I became interested in singing, I did voice training. I have never trained specifically to modulate my speaking voice, although I remember something that happened to me. It's one of those lightning bolt moments, and it was when I was in third grade, and the teacher, who I admired very much, because she actually had told the class that she had been dating John F. Kennedy when she was in, college, and it was like, wow, that was pretty amazing. So I thought she was just like the hottest, you know, most incredible person alive. And she told me one day, she looked right at me and said, you have the most boring monotone voice of anybody I've ever spoken to.
How awful for a teacher to say that.
I know. Believe me, I didn't know even what monotone meant. I had to go look in a dictionary. I felt horrible about it. But it turned out to be an amazing thing because I set out at that time to start modulating my voice up and down. I just began thinking about highs and lows, faster, slower, and really, really thinking about it. And I think, you know, today I have a very animated way of speaking. And had she not said that, I may be just talking to you like this right now.
If she had not said that, we would not have Elvira today.
Exactly. Hmm. So even though it was a hard pill to swallow when she said that, and it hurt a lot, I also think it turned out to be one of the best comments or criticisms I've ever had.
I think that if I look back, usually those things that people have said that have hurt me or criticize me in some way, that it makes me bound and determined. I'm the same way, too. It's like, well, I'm going to fix this, and I will do everything I can. So, you know, I guess if we look at life and those things really aren't, it is negative, they're things that push us in the right direction. Maybe they happen for a reason.
They can be. Well, you can either cave in and become a victim and say boo-hoo, or you can say, I'm going to change that. It was like when I wanted to be an actress and you know, a performer, a lot of my family, you know, said, you'll never be, are you kidding? You'll never be able to do that. You can't do that. And the effect it had on me was like, oh yeah, I'll show you.
Yes. So I'm the same way.
Extra strength to go out there and really do it.
It's you're living proof. There's all these people. If you put your mind to something, you can do anything you want. You've created this character, and look at how it has been 26 years, and it's still strong. I have kids that are working for me that are early 20s, and they know who you are. Over all these years, you've stayed in mainstream.
Yeah, I think it's become very much kind of an American pop culture icon, which I'm really happy to say.
You've been listening to a special Halloween presentation of The Jody Colvard Show. I'm your host, Jody Colvard. I'd like to thank my guest, Cassandra Peterson, a.k.a. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. And this was a special gift to say thank you and wish you and your loved ones a very happy Halloween. Be sure to join us for upcoming episodes on The Jody Colvard Show. They'll be starting the second week of October. And you can call in, ask me questions, join in on the conversation. We'll see you next week. Go to fmgradio.com for more details. Happy Halloween!